September 11th, 2026, 25 years ago, our nation suffered catastrophic injury, death, awful destruction. This 25 years ago right now, Flight 11 was getting set to take off from Boston. It officially took off at 7:59. That would be the flight that would hit the North Tower at 8:46. We've got guests coming in all morning, those that were present in New York City on 9/11, those are present in Washington, D.C. right now. Someone, Patty, you are extremely familiar with. That would be, I would think you're pretty familiar with this guy, right?
Yeah, how many years? I always say 37, but it's only 32.
It's only 32. Yeah, yeah, don't age me that quick.
Yeah, I was going to say, does it seem like 37?
37? Yes.
But that would be your husband, Jay Mercer, is joining us here now. But we brought Jay in, not just because he's your husband, but Jay, you were present in 9/11 in New York City, and you have a unique story that's maybe a little bit different from some of the guests we've heard so far.
Yeah, thanks, Chris, and I really appreciate you giving me the time to talk a little bit about it. It's certainly a very unique experience, and my heart goes out to all the family and friends of people that lost their lives that day. Yes, I was the New York City regional manager and responsible for the sale of Hershey chocolate in that territory throughout the state of New York, and I happened to be working the Bronx that day. So I was about 10 or 15 miles north of the World Trade Center, and I was there particularly to work with a part-time representative. And I can still remember that day. It was a beautiful day, clear blue skies, just gorgeous. And again, about being 15 miles north of the World Trade Center, it was very easy for me to see the towers. I've been there before. I was there 2 weeks earlier. I was telling Patty I was there merchandising our product in one of the stores that was in one of the towers. So I was very familiar with Manhattan. And I had gotten there a little bit earlier in the morning, waiting for my part-time merchandiser to show up. I was at Hampton Inn having a cup of coffee. We were going to meet in the lobby. And then I remember being in the lobby having coffee. She was going to arrive at 9 o'clock, and that's when, unfortunately, the first plane hit. And immediately there was a lot of chaos, as you could imagine, in the hotel. People were confused, and I was confused, and I was like, wow, what happened? It must have been some small Cessna plane or whatever that potentially happened. And then all of a sudden my phone started ringing off the hook, and it was people at Hershey Chocolate saying, hey, we heard about this accident. Is everything okay? And I was like, I don't know. I'm trying to understand things myself, because I had almost 25 people reporting to me, and I had a lot of people already working in the city that week and that day. And so it was a very unique experience and very traumatic day for everybody. And as I told Patty, my number one job once everything started to unravel was to really follow up with everybody, make sure everybody was safe and sound. And I was on the phone for anywhere between 8 to 10 hours trying to track everybody down, make sure that we didn't lose anybody and that everybody was safe.
And they were, right?
They were. Everybody was safe. Yeah. Knock on wood. Yeah.
And what about, okay, so it was a different story on the other side. I was in New Jersey.
Right.
My phone was ringing off the hook too, because everybody knew that you were in the city.
Yep.
And nobody knew what was going on, and everybody was trying to find answers and make sure that their loved ones were okay. When you were coming home,
yep,
you actually got, like, the bridge that you were on, just they blocked it, both sides.
Yeah, that's right.
You're
stuck.
That's
right. It almost took me almost, 12 or 14 hours to finally get back to our home. I will say that the one thing that really sticks in my mind more than anything else is when I walked outside of the hotel, I could see the smoke, you know, from the towers. You know, you could see the plume of smoke and the dark smoke and everything else. And it just seemed so unreal at the time. And people were just rushing around, and as they should be, everything was just extremely chaotic. And then my job, certainly following the disaster, was to still go down to that area and still work with people. Our customers were devastated. I mean, you can imagine, you know, I think I'd taken you and your dad down to the World Trade Center maybe 4 or 6 weeks later, and it was just like no other sight you've ever seen in your life. It's crazy.
Jay, what message do you have for folks who, what you just said really hit home with me. You said you stepped out of the hotel and you could see the smoke.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We who were not there, we watched it on TV, but as someone who was there and you see this event unfolding, you look out and it's like, oh my gosh. Like, what message do you have for folks who didn't witness it about what it was actually like being there and seeing that with your own eyes?
It was absolutely just surreal. Like, in other words, you just couldn't really fathom that anything had happened And it was just hard to imagine that this was happening. I mean, it was just almost like a dream. You know, you go to the movies, you see things all the time, you think, oh, it's the movies or whatever, but it started just to feel more and more real. And then as people started to talk about it, and there was just, you know, so many people that were all confused, we all didn't know what was happening. So it was really, really hard. I think seeing it was much different than seeing it on television, you know, seeing it in person.
I think so too, because the energy of all the people, I mean, even being on a bridge, waiting, and then having to walk and talk to people, and the unknown is so frightening, because at that time, the city was shut down. We didn't know if bridges were going to be bombed. We didn't know what was next.
And people were talking. I listened to people, and we were all standing there, you know, kind of grouped together, and people were talking about what's next. Are they going to bomb the Rockefeller Center? Like, what's next? What's going to happen? You thought the entire city was kind of under attack. You didn't know which way to go and where to. You were kind of like frozen, too, in the moment. But I had to quickly kind of change gears, try to settle myself, and then just get on the phone. And thank goodness, you know, I had all the contact information. Couldn't get a hold of you. I mean, it was really hard to get through on any phone line for at least, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock later that afternoon.
Yeah.
You know?
And so our kids were sent straight home from school, because we had so many people in our area. We lived in Sparta, New Jersey at the time.
That's right.
They commuted into the city every day.
Yep.
So they were sent home, you know. So they too, our children, one was in first grade, one was in fourth grade.
Yep.
When they moved back to the South, they were really surprised when they would have conversations with their friends that they just didn't know as much as what those who were around it had experienced.
You know, you've been in the city a million times, and it's a busy place, and people are always hustling and bustling. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, you don't always remember people you interact with or come across. But in that moment in time, it's like the entire city just pulled together. People were just helping each other. There was just a spirit of, like, trying to help and do everything they can. But it was a very difficult experience for so many people. And I'm just very fortunate everybody in our team was safe.
Yeah. Well, Jay, thank you for spending a couple moments here with us this morning and just sharing a different perspective of what it was like on September 11th, 2001, to be in New York City.